Praise God. Well, with all the things going on this week in Haiti, it just is a reminder of, boy, we have got to know how to live by faith. You never know when you're going to be faced with a situation. I mean, we should face every situation with faith, but when you're going to be faced with a situation that you know you don't have a clue, and you need to know how to believe God. Amen? Last time I talked about believing comes before faith, or believing leads to faith. Has that been working for you? Have you been believing? Thanks for that rousing. Yes, we are. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you've been believing. I think about it all the time of just believe. You got to trust. You just got to trust. Get not so much worried about this faith thing of where our faith's at. I just don't have the faith for that. We've just got to trust God. God will bring things to pass if we'll just trust Him. Amen? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 4. Going to look at some things this evening that just kind of continues on with faith. We always need faith. The just are to live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, so we're just going to have it. We're just going to have it and know how to live by it. Amen? Romans chapter 4, I want to read verse 13, and then I'm going to go from 16 through 21. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. This is the account of Abraham's situation, of the promise that God made to him in Genesis 15. Was the promise made. At one time he had told him to look at the stars in the sky, see if you can count them. Another time he said, look at all the sand, if you can count all the grains, this is how many descendants you're going to have. Well, now that is, if we think of that in just our natural terms, that's just crazy. You know, I mean, I know they had a lot of kids back in those days, but still, that's, you know, that is a wild promise. But yet Abraham believed God. And I want to talk tonight about the 5 stages of faith formation based on this account of Abraham. First of all, in verse 13, it says that the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. God made the promise. Faith comes. This is the word of faith. When God speaks, faith comes. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17 tells us, and hearing by the word of Christ, or the word of God. But hearing that word, that the rhema, the spoken word, God spoke to Abraham. This wasn't just a good thought that Abraham had. God said this to him. And when God speaks, faith comes. Faith always comes. Now, that's the first stage of our faith formation, is that faith comes, is hearing the word of God. So we have lots of opportunities in many ways, many places, whether it's through the preaching, through Sunday school, through your reading the scriptures on your own, through God just speaking to your heart. Lots of opportunities for the word to be spoken to us, the promise to be spoken to us, and for faith to come. And faith comes. That is the first step. The second step, then, if we'll go down to verse 19, is the counterattack of the visible. How many have experienced a counterattack of the visible once you've had a promise from God? You ever had that happen? If you haven't had that happen, you haven't been listening to God telling you what belongs to you. There's the counterattack of the visible. And verse 19 says that he was not weak in faith, and he didn't consider his own body already dead. What was visible was his body was already dead. He was not looking to have more children at his age. It was just not in their thoughts. And even the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah hadn't been able to bear any children, and now her womb is dead. It's not producing anything. But he didn't consider these things. He did not consider these natural things and let that affect him. Any natural circumstances that are contrary to the word, that's the counterattack of the visible, the things that you can see that go against what God just told you and faith came for in step one. But when the faith comes, if you don't yield to these visible things, if you don't give them, says he wasn't weak in faith and he didn't consider them. He just didn't even consider them. It's just like they're not on the page. I just can't look at this. I can't think about this. I can't concentrate on how this feels. I got to go with that. I got to stick with that promise. So he didn't yield to that counterattack of the visible. The third stage then is becoming preoccupied with heavenly things, beginning to focus on the invisible. This is what happens when we refuse to look at the visible, but we follow the invisible things of God. You don't need to turn here necessarily, but 2 Corinthians 4, just look at this for a moment, verses 17 and 18. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We have got to become preoccupied with eternal things. We've got to not look at the things that we can see that are contrary to the promise. We've got to become preoccupied with the heavenly things and focus on the invisible, looking to those things that God has said, those things, that, the promises that we can't see yet, but that are in that unseen realm of the Spirit. Now, the fourth stage of the formation of the faith that we can see with Abraham is verse 20, is that the burden and the struggle is replaced with praise. Verse 20 says, "He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God." We begin to give glory to God. We begin to praise God. And we can be lifted out of the burden and the struggle that is there that wants to fight against the faith. All the things that want to weigh it down, that want to tell you that, no, this won't happen. This can't happen. It isn't going to happen. How could it happen? All those things that would weigh on us, those can be replaced with praise if we'll replace those. One of the interesting things, I've told you before that every day in my devotionals, I read my devotional scripture in the Creole Bible. And it was interesting, this scripture where it says that he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And a lot of times we just sort of look at that, well, glory to God. You know, we just read it kind of in a very practical kind of way. But in Creole, the phrase says, he got more confident all the time since he was singing praise to God. But there's a lot more activity in that, a lot more involvement in just, well, glory to God. It's a continual thing. It's a constant thing. He got more confident all the time as he was singing praise to God. When we've already started becoming preoccupied with the heavenly things, and then we begin to praise God for those things, and it begins to lift that burden, and it begins to cause the faith to develop and grow as we continue to glorify God. When you're occupied with glorifying God, doubt cannot occupy you. When you have got your attention on God and glorifying him. And that's why you can't, you can think glorifying thoughts toward God. It's not that you can't think them, but you need to glorify God out your mouth. Because that will engage your brain to definitely focus that way. Because it's real easy to sometimes have thoughts toward God, but they can drift. Excuse me. So we want to keep that coming out of our mouth. In Colossians 2:7, just a quick verse concerning this particular part. It says, we are rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. See, we're getting our faith formed and established as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. We talked about that in Sunday school class this morning, of abounding with thanksgiving, of always being thankful for things to God. It causes your faith to grow and to get established when you're thankful. When you're not thankful, when you're not preoccupied with God, when you're not focused on that, when you're not giving glory to him, when you're not lifting him up and praising him, your faith isn't getting established. And then we wonder why we just can't seem to believe for anything, or why we can't seem to have the faith for anything. But we've got to stay active in that thanksgiving. Another verse just to emphasize that is Hebrews 13:15. And it says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips. It's so important that these things come out our mouth. I mean, I think for too long we've tried to keep our religion, our faith, our praise, our worship, our praying in our head. And if you are well-disciplined and developed, you can do that. But that's a dangerous thing to do. It needs to be coming out your mouth, because your mouth releases the faith. It puts the faith out there to work. It causes those things to take place. And it is so important that we have that fruit of thanksgiving on our lips all the time to build our faith. It encourages you. It's just like praying in the Holy Ghost will build up your spirit man. Well, continually being thankful builds up your faith. I mean, praying in the Spirit does too, but continually being thankful will cause that faith to become established. So that's the burden and the struggle is replaced with praise. Now, the fifth stage then of the faith formation is full assurance comes. Now you know. And that is verse 21 in this stage of Abraham's development here, after he was busy giving glory to God. And then it says, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. He was going to do it. By the time Abraham took Isaac up on Mount Moriah, he was fully convinced of what God was able to do. His faith had formed and developed through this time. It started out, he had to start at the beginning and work toward, and he tried, you know, they tried the Hagar thing and all that, you know, that they got some things out of kilter there for a little, but they kept, when that didn't work and when God said, no, this isn't the way, this isn't what I told you, and reminded him of the promise and how it was going to be, and he continued to grow, and then he quit considering the fact that Sarah's womb was dead, and it's just this, God's just going to have to do this. And Isaac was born, and he became fully convinced to the point then when he was going up there and God says, I want you to offer him up on the altar, that the scriptures tell us that he had actually seen him brought back to life in a vision, because God had promised him that through this son of promise, he was going to have all these zillions of ancestors, all these children that were going to come to follow through this. And so he was fully convinced. So he wasn't moved by this request to do this in the natural, to take Isaac's life. And he knew it was God. I mean, you know, don't just go out and be killing or attempting to kill people by any stretch. But he was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to do it. You have the full assurance of your faith. You know this is perfect faith. Hebrews 11:1, one of our favorite faith scriptures. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if you have a center reference there, it says faith is the realization of the things hoped for, and it's the confidence of things not seen. Faith is the confidence. It's spiritual substance, and that spiritual substance is confidence in us, but yet it's substance in the spirit realm that produces things in the natural realm. Your full assurance of faith comes. Hebrews 10:22, just up in the former chapter there, says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." Full assurance of faith. We want our faith to come to full fruition in that. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. It says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him to that day." Now see, we've got the belief and the faith here in this same scripture. He believed, he trusted, and he's brought it to full fruition that he is persuaded that God is able to do everything he told him he would do and to fulfill everything that he said he would fulfill. Also, let's look at 1 John chapter 5. These are the examples of full assurance of faith. 1 John 5, 14 and 15, familiar verses to us. "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him." This is a monster verse for faith. When we have reached full faith formation, when we have reached confidence in God, we know, we have confidence that we ask anything according to his will, because we have developed this confidence because we have believed what he said, and it is developed. We are confident that we know if he hears us, he gives us what we ask. It's that simple. It isn't complicated with anything else, but it's based on having this confidence of faith. It's because we've developed our faith. Sometimes I think we just expect faith to somehow get better as time goes on. And it might, if you're letting it develop, but it might not. Sometimes we just keep, you know, we look back and think of the years we've been a Christian, we should be able to believe maybe more now than, you know, have faith for greater things, but it doesn't seem to be there. Well, it's not an automatic thing. It has to be developed. And then we can be confident that God just put it before him, and we know he heard, and we're confident. We know it's coming. We don't have this struggle anymore because we know God is faithful. Amen? Okay, let's go back to Romans chapter 4. Keep your place there, and then flip over to Mark 4, because we can see this process even in the parable of the sower. We can see this same thing taking place of these five stages of the faith formation. We talked about stage number one, that faith comes. And let's start in the explanation of the parable where we have the details that Jesus gave us. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. God gives us a promise. God gives us his word. God tells us what he'll do. God tells us who we are. God tells us what we can do, whatever it is. The sower sows the word. Faith comes. When the sower sowed the word, faith was there to start growing. The word is the seed. We'll be talking, you know, about these things in Sunday school, but the faith was there. The faith is contained in what God says, and we can grow it in our heart. The five stages. The second stage then, the counterattack of the visible. Go down to verse 17. These are the ones that where the word fell on stony ground. Verse 16 says, immediately they receive it with gladness. The faith came, and they took it. But then in verse 17, they didn't have any root in themselves, and they only endured for a time. And afterward, then, when tribulation and persecution arose for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Stuff starts happening in the natural. Things that go against the word, that come against the word, come against the promise, and it causes our faith to wane off, causes us to just give up, because we won't wait. We won't let the faith develop. We back away because of what we see. We get our eyes on the visible. It's the counterattack of the visible. Step number three, then, or stage number three of the faith formation, we're becoming preoccupied with heavenly things and focusing on the invisible. Now, this is a little different, but verse 19 here, 18 and 19 of the parable of the sower, this is an opposite picture of that. This is just a comparison, but it's an opposite picture of that, because the word was sown on among the thorns, and they heard the word. The faith came, but in the midst of it, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things entered in and choked the word, and it became unfruitful. Instead of being preoccupied with heavenly things, they were occupied with this life. They were occupied with the cares and the deceitfulness of money and just other stuff, other things that we do. You know, it could be just as mundane as grocery shopping or mowing the yard, but we're just preoccupied with stuff other than the invisible things, the heavenly things of God. And then the word doesn't produce. The faith doesn't come to fruition. The confidence isn't developed. The fourth stage of the faith, then, the burden and the struggle is replaced with praise. Here we look at verse 20. These are the ones sown on good ground. Those who heard the word, faith came. They accepted it, and they didn't let go of it. They didn't get moved by the visible things that came against it. They were preoccupied with the heavenly things. They didn't get stuck in the earthly things. They accepted it, and they bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. They begin to just stick with it, and it produces the full assurance of faith. Not only the burden and struggle is replaced with praise, they keep at it, but then it brings stage five of the full assurance of faith. And it, some 30, some 60, some 100, it begins to produce confidence and faith in their life as this develops. But I just thought it was interesting that you could even see that pattern somewhat in that parable, that we have that same progression there. Now, a few things I want to mention about this, because these stages of faith, there's some things that Jesus said about people with little faith and then people with great faith. And I just want to look at a couple of them. If you go to Matthew 6, because we can see these principles of this faith formation, how they were working or not working for people in some instances in the scriptures. Matthew 6:30. It says, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" And this was talking about people that were worried about where they were going to get their clothes and their food, looking for money for their needs to be met, looking at the natural things rather than the spiritual things. And this causes faith to be little. He said, you know, "Oh, ye of little faith." There's some faith there, but yet they're not letting it develop because they're still concerned and focused on the natural things, on the visible things, and it's not being allowed to produce in them. But he says, "Oh, you of little faith, why are you doing that?" So don't get preoccupied with things. Over in Matthew 8:26, it's another example of this, of when the disciples were out on the sea and the storm came up. Verse 20, you know, they said, "Lord, save us, we're going to die." And he said, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Here again, he had told them to go to the other side. They had the word. The faith was there, but they got preoccupied with the storm. Now, granted, it was a big storm, but God is bigger than big storms, and we can't let big circumstances shake us. We can't get preoccupied. Just sometimes, maybe if it's the evidence in the natural isn't so big, well, then we can kind of overcome that. We'll kind of get over that hump. But when it's big stuff, we'll let go. And he's saying, you know, why are you fearful? Why did you let fear get you? Because of what you can see, oh, you of little faith. So there was some faith there. But this is the example of the counterattack of the visible things. Now, here in Matthew 8, let's look at verse 10. This is a situation where we can see where Jesus talks about great faith. And this is where the centurion came and wanted Jesus to heal his servant and said, just, you know, I'm under authority, just speak the word and he'll be healed. And when Jesus heard this, verse 10, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." This man knows authority. In Luke 7:9, it's the same account, but he's saying, just speak the word. Just say the word, Jesus. He had confidence. He wasn't moved by anything. He didn't even need Jesus to come to his house. He said, you just say the word. I know. You just speak the word, and it'll happen. And Jesus said, man, this is great faith. And his faith developed quickly. See, faith can come and develop quickly. It doesn't have to be a slow process. It just depends on how fast we're willing to let those stages take place. If we get way preoccupied by circumstances and stuff, then our faith is going to stay little and not produce a whole lot of things for us, and not produce the kingdom of God for us. But if we'll just trust what Jesus said, if we'll just believe, then faith can develop really quick. Confidence can come really quick, just depending on what we focus on and how we think about things. Let's flip over to Matthew 15. This is another example here of just having full assurance of faith. Matthew 15, verse 28. This was the Syrophoenician woman that came to Jesus and said, "My daughter's got a demon, you know, I want you to set her free." And Jesus said, "But I wasn't sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And then she came and worshiped, and she said, "But Lord, help me." And he said, "But it's not good for me to throw the children's bread to the little dogs." He says, I have a mission here, and this is what I'm here to do. I have to do that. This is what I'm to do. I am to bring this to the Hebrew people, to the house of Israel." And she says, "Yes, Lord, but even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." This woman would not be denied. She would not be moved by any of this. And then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus said, this is great faith. She had full assurance. It didn't matter that he was sent to the house of Israel. It didn't matter that he said it wasn't right to stop what he was doing and reaching Israel and be moved by someone out here that doesn't have a covenant with God. She says, "I don't care. I know you are God. You've got God's ear. You can do this. You've got the anointing of a God. If you will just listen to me, please. I know you can do it." She had full assurance. She wasn't even an Israelite. She was a foreigner. She didn't have any problems. She heard about Jesus. She heard what was going on, and she let faith just grow. She was not deterred by anything. She wasn't deterred by the fact that he wasn't sent to the Gentiles. That didn't bother her that he wasn't the same race as her. It didn't bother her that, you know, she wasn't the same religion as them necessarily. She didn't let anything stop her. And when he says, "Yeah, but that'd be like throwing the bread to the dogs. You know, you don't have a covenant. I don't care if I have a covenant. You've got this. Please do this." Because she knew he could. Faith developed right away. She said, great faith. This is the full assurance of faith in people being developed. And in Mark 16, 14, this is just a side note, kind of. This is after the resurrection, and the disciples had been told by the women that Jesus was alive, and he had appeared to some of them. But in verse 14 of chapter 16, it says, later he appeared to the 11, actual disciples, as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. They came and told the disciples what Jesus said to tell them. So this is Jesus speaking. They're repeating Jesus' words to them. He says, you go to Galilee, I'm going to meet you there. And they wouldn't believe. Faith was there. It was there for the taking. Confidence was there for the taking, but they wouldn't believe it. Whether it was because it was the women, whether they believed it was impossible. Jesus had told them what was going to happen. I mean, you know, it's not like he hadn't been preparing them, but yet they just wouldn't believe. And it says, and he rebuked their unbelief. Sometimes I may be slow about things, but, oh, I don't want to be rebuked for not believing. I don't want Jesus to ever have to do that. Faith always comes. One other scripture, Hebrews 12, familiar again to us. Hebrews 12, verses 2 through 4. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You've not yet resisted the bloodshed striving against sin. And this is a picture of Jesus and his faith. This is how his faith toward God and toward the Father. And because he's the author of our faith. He is the one that actually, he is our faith. He's the Word made flesh. He's where the faith is. All faith is in Jesus. So he's the beginner, the creator of the faith. And then it says he's also the finisher of our faith. That word finisher means completeness or perfection. He's the one that brings our faith to full fruition, brings it to that place of now you know, the full assurance. He's the one that causes that to take place. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. But you can see here, it says, who for the joy that was set before him, he had a promise from the Father. He says, you're gonna go and be sacrificed, crucified on the cross and have to go into hell, bear the punishment, bear the sickness, the disease, the sin. You're going to have to take all this stuff. But I'm going to come get you and deliver you out of it and put you back right with me and make you God just like you were before, and everything will be okay. So Jesus has this promise. Now he's got, in his faith, he has opportunities here to give that up, because you've got the counterattack of the visible. Well, he's got all kinds of stuff happening to him. He's got the leaders turning against him, lying about him. The disciples leave him in his hour of need. Judas betrays him. I mean, you know, he's got all this stuff happening to him. Then they start to beat him and put the crown on him and mock him and all these things, and just all this stuff is going on, but yet he knows the promise. He's not deterred. Even in the garden, he had the terrible temptation of, Father, man, if there is some other way, this is tough. This is tough. I don't really want to have to do this. This is tough. But if this is the only way, I got to go this way. So he's facing these things. He's facing the counterattack of the visible. He's got these pressures coming against him. But he is preoccupied with God. It's like, God, oh man, there's this pressure all around me. But Father, your will. Your will. If there's no other way, your will. And he stayed focused on that. And he continually praised and fellowshiped with God all the time. And it brought him through that to full assurance that when they came to that garden and it was time, He told the disciples, come on, wake up, it's time. He, full assurance, it's like, I'll go through whatever I got to go through. And he went through it all for that joy that was set before him. And it says, but it says, consider him. We should consider this. This is what we need to do. We need to let this faith form in us. We need to treat our situation the same way as he did. We need to do the word of God. We need to believe what God has told us and to hold on to it. It says, the thing that he endured, said the hostility from sinners, you know, of all he endured through all of this. And it says, consider him. Jesus lived through this, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Because there's going to be stuff come against you. There's going to be stuff that's going to try to rob your faith and keep you from getting to that full place of confidence in God. But it says, think about him. It says, you've not yet resisted the bloodshed. You haven't sweat blood trying to hold on to your faith. That's really what it's saying. You know, because anything that's not of faith is sin. So striving against sin, you've not yet sweat blood so that you won't be found without faith, without confidence. And he says, you got to fight sometimes. That's the good fight of faith, is letting it develop, letting it form. Now, in the process of this, continual trust or believing, as we can look at Romans, or we can go back to Mark 4 in the parable of the sower, either place. But continual trusting, you know, we talked before about we've got to trust. We worry about, well, I don't know if I have that much faith. Faith will come. Jesus brings the faith. The word has the faith is in the word that he's spoken to us. He's the author. He created the faith. It will develop, and he's the perfecter of it. He will bring it to completion in us, but we got to keep our believer going. We can't be deterred. When we have situations that come against us, we can't let those things steal from us. We can't get our eyes on the natural stuff. We've got to let the faith develop. So it means we have got to be continually believing through this process, always trusting no matter what comes on. Even when, you know, when there's natural things that would lag in, or when we could be distracted by these other things, and when we start focusing on earthly things instead of heavenly things, we can't let that happen. We've got to keep believing. We can't let go of the faith that's there, because if we'll let it stay and keep trusting, we'll get to the place of full conviction and confidence. That's the whole purpose of when we talk about confession and the importance of saying, well, that helps reinforce the word. That keeps you hearing that word. That keeps being reminded of that word. You can begin to praise God for the promise in it and let that praise come out your mouth. That praise establishes your faith, makes your faith grow. If we'll do those things, faith will grow. We don't have to, quote, work to make the faith grow. We've got to fight to just let it do its thing. We've got to fight to not yield to not believing and not giving in to those other pressures. We've got to continually believe. It's mandatory, and it will bring the harvest if we won't stop. And we've got to just sell out to the promise. We can't decide that we will believe until April 3rd. And if it isn't here by then, something just isn't right. Something's not working right. We can't put those kind of things. Now, there are times when your circumstances may be a deadline, and if your confidence isn't there and something doesn't develop, don't give up yet. Even though you may not have got the harvest on that particular thing, don't throw away all your other faith and all your other opportunities for more harvest and other things. Just keep at it. Keep at it. Keep believing. Keep believing. Let faith have its way. It will build God's will in our life if we will just let it. We've got to always believe. We don't want to abort the development of our faith. You know, a lot of times, you know, we talk about how charismatics can believe anything for 5 minutes. You know, our faith is great when we're in here in the pew, and then we walk out the door and it just slips. It's not the faith. The problem is we just won't let it stay. We just won't keep a hold of it. We won't let it develop, because it will produce. It will produce if we will just trust God. And just every time we see something that's just contrary, God, I just trust you. I just thank you that your promises are true, that you are faithful. If we'll just continue to trust, just trust. And trust, believing, remember, is an act of our will. It's a choice we make. It's not something that somebody's just blessed with the ability to trust more. I mean, we kind of give in to that if we've had bad experiences with people. It's not that we can't trust, it's that we won't. You know, if we've been hurt a lot, if we've trusted people and they've let us down, and we've had a lot of bad experiences in life, it's not that we can't trust, it's just we won't. And choosing to trust is just that. It's a choice. God, you know, it was mentioned this morning, you know, God says, I set before you life and blessing, death and cursing. Therefore, choose life. I mean, he helps us to the point where he doesn't even give us the option to pick one. He tells us which one to pick because he doesn't want us to miss it. It's like, it's an open book test. I want you to get it right. So trust, you know. Trust, choose to believe, but don't abort the faith development. Don't and just say you have a situation where you're believing and trusting, and you get past the natural deadline or time when it needed to have happened, if it was a time-oriented kind of thing. Even when that happens, don't let the discouragement or the natural fact that one didn't happen, don't focus on that. That's another counterattack of the visible. Don't let that take away your trusting and abort your faith. If you'll just keep letting it grow, keep feeding it, keep believing it, just keep on, you will develop in faith. You will develop confidence because Jesus is the one doing it. He's the author and the finisher, the developer, the completer, the one that makes it perfect. We don't have to lose our harvest. We've got to just stay true. Final verse of just an exhortation for us is Hebrews 6:12. Just keep going over and over and over and over and over these verses, but we got to live by them. It says that you do not become sluggish. That means lazy. Sometimes we can become lazy, but it says, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We can imitate what Abraham did here in Romans. We can imitate what he did, and he through faith and patience inherited his promise. He got what God told him he was going to get, and you can get what God has said you can get. All the promises in the Word that are yes and amen from God to you, you can get them. But you can't be lazy. And it is easy to be lazy when there's a lot of stuff screaming contrary to what that promise is. All the natural circumstances of things, it's really easy to just get lazy because believing is work. It's not so much work out here, it's work in here. It's not even work in here, because our spirit man's a believer. It's born to believe. It's made of the substance of God. It's made of the substance of faith. We have been born again by the incorruptible word of faith. We have been begotten of it. We have been given the measure of faith. It's in there. It will develop, but where the work comes is when your mind doesn't want to hold on to the trusting, When your mind wants to look at the circumstances, when your ears want to listen to the things that people are telling you, oh, well, that faith stuff doesn't work, you can't get healed just by believing. You need to go to the doctor. I mean, you know, whatever it is. But it's work to make your ears only hear what God says. It's work to only look at what God says and what's true. It's work to make your mouth say the right, or to keep your mouth shut when it wants to say it. I mean, you know, sometimes till we get it all purged out of us, it comes up and it'll just come right up behind your lips sometimes. It takes work to just, I'm not gonna say that. And sometimes we'll even, I am not going to say that. And then other stuff just kind of gets said and it goes on a little bit and all of a sudden, boop, it just spills out. It's work. It is work. But it's not hard to believe God. It's the fighting this stuff. It's the fighting this. That's the work. Jesus said, my burden's light. You just believe me and it'll work. You just believe me, but it's this fighting the good fight of it and keeping all that stuff down. So we've got to follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We've got to constantly be staying in faith because the just live by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, faith is confidence. Now see, we can kind of believe now and then. I don't know, I'll just put this out here for food for thought. I'll just say it this way. Believing doesn't please God. Satan believes. But he doesn't have any confidence that anything good's going to happen to him. Because he knows. But he believes God. He knows. And believing doesn't please God. Faith pleases God. Confidence pleases God. And the only way we can please God is we just got to keep believing until that confidence becomes strong in us so that we can have lots of it. Now, we all have different levels of confidence right now. Each one of us has, there are just certain things that we're real confident of. But if we want to please God a whole bunch, we need to just be confident about everything. We need to be confident that everything He said is true. Every promise He said is going to come to pass. Everything He told us we can be, everything He told us we can have, everything He told us we can do, we've got to be confident in all of it. And if we're not there yet, well, then we just need to work on it. We just need to keep trusting. Just keep trusting. Keep casting down all this other stuff that's contrary to it. Just keep holding on because Jesus will bring that confidence to fruition and cause us to be strong in it. Amen? Amen. Did you get anything out of that? Good. Praise God, you're going to be believers. You're just going to keep believing, and then it's just going to bring confidence. We're just going to get so confident, and you know, I just can't help but thinking, I know we're just occupied with what's going on in Haiti right now, but we got to be confident. I mean, you know, maybe our level of confidence where we are right now is okay for what's going on in our life right now. We can get along from day to day. We're doing all right. But what if something major, major, big happens? We've got to make sure that the confidence is there for those things. And the confidence for those things comes by just being confident in all the other simpler things. The more we just continue to believe God, we'll be confident for anything. It's like if you can be confident that He can heal a hangnail, you can be confident He can heal cancer or AIDS or whatever else might come along. Because if we'll develop and let our confidence grow on those things, nothing's too hard for God. Nothing is impossible with our God. Amen? Let's stand up. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight. Jesus, we thank you that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you, Father, that you have already given us the measure of faith. You have placed it in us that we can walk in that confidence. It's already there if we will just employ it and just trust and allow it to come to fruition, allow it to develop on the inside of us. Jesus, we thank you that you cause it to develop. If we'll just trust, You'll cause it to come to perfection and fruition. We can be confident in any circumstance, in every circumstance, that whatever situation we might encounter in our life or in anybody else's situations, or just within the walk that we have in this life to fulfill your plans and purposes, God, we can be confident. We can have faith. We can just be strong and sure, God, that you'll do everything you say. You will never fail us. You will never forsake us. You will be faithful. You will be faithful, Lord God, to do what you have promised. We can be just like our father Abraham, and we can be just absolutely assured that whatever you promised, you can do it. Even if we don't understand how, you can do it. Father, we just praise you and thank you tonight for the confidence that's growing in us, for your word of faith that you've spoken to us, that we can please you in all things. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.